Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for 35 years now, come to think of it. And so thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we finished up a series last week on how the Lord is our Christmas Christ. And you know, I also love talking about different portraits of God. And I'm really excited today because I'm going to share with you a portrait of God that I shared with our church family here in Fort Myers. Actually, it's the home church that I have been asked to come back to. It's a church that the Lord gave me the privilege of replanting many years ago. And I was there for 24 years. I came to a place with 24 people, no land, no building. In 1990, and by 93, we had our first building up and it had nice gradual growth, just a great relational church with the Lord and with each other, and for 24 years. And then he led me away from that to become a regional overseer for our Southern Baptist churches in Southwest Florida for 11 years, and loved doing that until the Lord said it's time to move on. And now, just here's a heads up, I am now with ABWE Global Missions Agency. They've asked me to come and serve as their National Director of Soul Care, and we'll be unpacking that, how to create a culture of soul care. And I just started that at the first of the year. But my home church is my sending church, and so I get to hang around my home church folks, my young pastors that are there that are doing a fabulous job. We're seeing the Lord doing some amazing work, growth spiritually and numerically. It's just a very, very vibrant church family. And I had the joy of being asked to speak last week. And the portrait that came to my heart was out of the series that our pastor's been taking us through in 1 John. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, and he asked me to preach on verses 1 through 12 to continue the series as he had to be out of town. And I was honored to do that. And the portrait of God that came to my heart as I was just poring over that passage and seeking the heart and the mind of the Lord was this particular portrait, because I see portraits all throughout the scripture, portraits of God. So we're going to be today talking about how He is our overcoming love. He is our overcoming love. And listen, on the topic of portraits of God, let me give you a peek at the next series. I tell you what, if you joined us last week, I had a ball just sharing with you about how the Lord is our providing Christ. That was the 10th portrait in our series on how He is our Christmas Christ. We saw how He is our providing Christ, and we looked at some of the specifically and clearly stated portraits that the Bible gives us, and we went through that in overview fashion. But as I began to ask the Lord about the next series, I had a yearning to go back to this particular message, and instead of doing an overview, we're going to drill into each of these specifically stated portraits of God in Scripture, like how He is our bread of life, He is our living water, He is our bridegroom, He is our shepherd. All of these will be taking a series, several weeks, just to look at each of those at a deeper and deeper level. So I'm really excited to start that series of clearly stated portraits of God in the Scripture. But today, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at how He is our overcoming love, which is the portrait of God that came to my heart as I was going through 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 12, and then shared it with our church family in both of our services last Sunday. By the way, we're growing so fast, we have to go to 3 services starting in a few weeks. So yeah, it's exciting times. Well, so if you have your Bibles, let's start making our way over to that particular passage in your Bible and your device. And just a reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. markpg.org. Just click on the broadcast box on the first page, and then Portraits of God box on the second page, and you'll see them scrolled. You can scroll through the list right there and get caught up on all of the 27 messages that I've been able to share with you thus far and the ones that are coming up. That's at markpg.org, and I call the website Helping You Hear God. And that's what we need to do right now. We need to hear God. And so let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm so honored to be with my brothers and sisters and to be able just to kind of compare notes and share hearts of all the things You're showing us through Scripture and in our lives, through the portraits we see in Scripture, through the whispers we hear every day as we walk with You, praying without ceasing, as the Scripture says. And so, Lord, as we look at this particular portrait today about how You are our overcoming love, oh, I pray I'll be able to unpack it clearly. I pray that it'll just reside within us deeply, that we can experience, not just understand, but experience Your overcoming love and how that makes all the difference in our journey with You and into You. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, as we jump right into this particular passage, in these 12 verses, as I mentioned, I do see Him as our overcoming love here. And there are five whispers that He gave me as I was going through this. So if you're a note taker, here's the first of the five whispers I heard in the Lord as I was seeing how He is our overcoming love. First whisper I heard was the Lord just speaking to my heart in verse 1, embrace my born-again love, son. Embrace my born-again love. Listen to this in 1 John 12, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of Him. So here we have a clearly stated reference to the born-again experience, the reality that it's based on love. It results in love. That's the evidence that it's really taking place. In fact, the Scripture talks about that all over the place. I mean, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It starts right there, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is a good place, my friends, to remind all of us, don't take our born-again experience lightly. We tend to just race by references to being born again and being saved. Oh, been there, done that, now what's next? Listen, He wants us to embrace our born-again love. Hug it, squeeze it. Another metaphor, savor our born-again love. We don't know or realize or keep in mind all the extraordinary things that happen when we're born again and how it is saturated with His love. Like I said, John 3:16 tells us that specifically. And Matthew 22, when the Pharisees were challenging Jesus about what's the greatest commandment? Well, you know the answer to this because we've read it so many times if we've been students of the Scripture. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And by the way, that's the foundation of soul care, my friends. That's where my heart has gone to really focus on and encouraging people. It's about soul care. Take care of your heart, because the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Over in the Proverbs chapter 4. 1 Peter 4 gives us another above all else. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. And then the whole book of 1 John is about the light of the Lord, the life of the Lord, and the love of the Lord. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 tells us that love is from God and that God is love. Now, I'm not talking about this, you know, daisies and, you know, candy cane kind of love that, oh, all we need is love and just love Jesus and we'll be fine. I get that that cheesy kind of focus on love doesn't take us to the depths that God intended us to go in discovering what his love is really like. But it is about the heart. It is about a heart-to-heart connection. In fact, I was at a global mission conference in Beirut, Lebanon years ago and had a wonderful lunch during one of the breaks over the days that we were there with some pastors, about two or three pastors from Africa, and a couple of my buddies were with me. We had a great time comparing notes and sharing hearts of how God is doing his work in each of our places and different things that we were doing and all. And toward the end of that lunch, an overseer of a large area of Africa, a pastoral overseer, who'd been around for many years, gracious man, ended up saying this. He said, you know, you Americans are great with your projects, programs, and even preaching, but you guys got to deal with your hearts, man. Think about that. I tell you what, our culture is such that we are so efficiency-oriented and results-oriented, and our agendas are so long, our do list way too long, projects, programs, even preaching. We can be good at that and miss the heart level. This is why the whisper that came to me here in the Lord was to embrace his born-again love. When we were born again, my friends, we took a deeper dive. Over in Psalm 42, it talks about how, oh, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my heart pants after you, O Lord. And then it goes on to say, as the psalmist was saying, why is my heart in such despair? Deep calls to deep. I get a portrait of God there about how he is our deeper dive. The depth of the Lord calls to the depth of our despair so he can heal us and comfort us and encourage us and love on us. And I did a series a while back. You can check it out on the website at markpg.org about how he is our deeper dive. But here's the thumbnail version. There's five levels when we dive into Jesus in salvation. First, he's our merciful Savior. Get this from Matthew 9, how he looked at the multitudes with compassion and saw them as downcast sheep without a shepherd. It's like being upside down. It is. A downcast sheep is upside down, can't get right side up, like a turtle on its back. But a merciful Savior, a shepherd, comes along to rescue him, turn back on his feet, and take care of him. Which brings us to the second layer. Don't stop just there. He's also our gentle teacher. He's our merciful Savior at depth one, gentle teacher at depth two. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. He gently teaches us. The term rabbi was used by the disciples continuously. He is our gentle teacher, and the scriptures was given to us to nurture us and to teach us and to guide us in all righteousness. And so we need to go deeper in the Lord through letting him be our gentle teacher. But he's also our gracious master, because it's not just about sitting and soaking to learn about Jesus and the scriptures and all. That's important to be sure. But we're also to serve. We get to serve, not have to serve, because he's a gracious master, not a taskmaster. 2 Timothy 2:24 gives us a clue. The bondservant, that's us. The bondservant, it's voluntary, by the way. We're not forced. A regular servant or slave is forced, but a bondservant is one to, I choose to be a servant because he's so gracious to me. And a bondservant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient with wronged, with gentleness, correcting those that are in opposition, that we might come to our senses, that God may grant us repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, that we can escape from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. Man, that's a deeper dive, isn't it? our born-again love, is building. But now the two deepest layers, 4 and 5, are how he is our loving father or loving bridegroom. The scripture uses those metaphors all over the place, Ephesians 5 in particular, about how he is our loving bridegroom. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave, and shall become one flesh. That's a quote from Genesis, but then he says this, this mystery is great, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So that's a powerful metaphor about the love of the Lord and the loving father. Just go to the prodigal son, his experience and how his loving father welcomed him back even after he'd squandered everything. Have you experienced the born-again love of the Lord in a daily way? Have you gone to the deeper depths, or do you get stuck at the merciful Savior, gentle teacher, and gracious master level? Serving the Lord can turn into duty. We lose our joy. It gets dry and dusty. Oh, no. As we are experiencing the loving Father and loving bridegroom, we get to serve Him. We don't have to serve Him. And the deepest layer of all is how He is our fruitful oneness. Scripture talks about how we are one in Christ, unified with Christ, in union with Christ once we get saved. And if you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. We don't make fruit, we bear it. So that's a peek, a thumbnail version about going deeper and learning how important it is to embrace His born-again love. Savor all of that that I just described that salvation is all about, a deeper dive continuously in Him. Well, as we read the passage, back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 says this, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and follow His commandments. All right, are you following His commandments? Okay, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Okay, now so let me stop there a moment, because we have other passages that seem to indicate, okay, if you really want to prove your love to God, then follow His commandments, keep His commandments. Okay, if you want to make sure that you stay in His love and you stay in salvation, then follow His commandments, keep His commandments. Well, that's not the way it is. That's a works-based salvation. In Galatians, Paul wrote, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? What began in the Spirit do you now continue by works? Hello? And this is why in this passage, just go back to it now, it's talking about following His commandments. Verse 3 talks about keeping His commandments, but it goes on in verse 3 and says this, and His commandments are not burdensome. What? Doesn't it feel like His commandments are burdensome? Man, it's hard to be nice to this person because they've been such a jerk to me. Oh, it's hard to forgive. You don't know what they did. They betrayed me. They did me wrong. I'll never forgive them. I mean, that's real life. I get that. But we see a verse like this is, hey, wait a minute, His commandments to do the right thing and treat people kindly, even when they treat us unkindly. It's all over the place. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, because my yoke is easy. The burden is light. All right, you got that? You got commandments that's not supposed to be burdensome? John 15 puts it this way, as I mentioned earlier, he who abides in me bears much fruit. You don't make fruit, you bear it. It comes by abiding in the fruit, by having your roots deeply embedded in the vine, in Jesus. The more you hang with Him, the more fruit will follow. What kind of fruit? Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, my friends, what this is saying is that the Lord, when He saves us, our spirit is made alive. We become new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We come in union with Him. And to the degree we keep swimming to the deeper layers of our loving Father, our loving bridegroom, our fruitful oneness, and we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. This is what we call progressive sanctification, for those of you who love your theological terms. But let me just kind of illustrate it this way. If you're taking notes, picture four columns. On one column, write no fruit. No fruit. And maybe I have a picture of an apple when I illustrate this. There's an apple there with a big X across it. I'm not even trying to do the right thing. My mother treated me so harshly, I will never forget her. I don't want to talk to her again, or my dad, or my boss, or my kids. We can get embittered with people. There are areas in our life, when we get honest, we don't even try. That's no fruit. We're not even trying. We kind of, you know, we have an attitude about that. And God has to work with us. And he's so faithful that he starts drawing us on progressively and sends a counselor or sends a friend or somebody we trust to say, dude, honey, listen, if you don't forgive, you're just going to be tortured inside. It's time to try to do the right thing. So then we go to the next column, and I call it photo fruit. It's a picture of an apple, a photo of an apple. And that's when we're trying. And you know the drill. You're trying to be nice to somebody that you're really upset with, and you try, and it comes across as trying. But you know what? Kudos to you. You're going in the right direction, and God honors that. But it's evident that it's a hard thing you're trying to do. All right? Next layer, however, is what I call wax fruit. A wax apple can look real, so much so you can pick it up from a bowl and bite into it and then discover, whoa, this is not real, but it looks good from afar. And this is where we're kind of like on stage. It's wax fruit. We're acting like Jesus. We're imitating Jesus. And that's great. Man, you're making progress, but it's still pretty hard, isn't it? And the Lord wants to take us to a deeper place. He doesn't want us to be in stage. It takes an enormous amount of emotional energy to portray kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And it's up and down, isn't it? But a lot of people think, man, we got our act together. But we know on the outside it looks good. But the inside, I'm struggling. All that is burdensome. All that is hard. It's part of our journey. But here's where we want to get. We want to get to juicy fruit, the fourth column. We had no fruit, not even trying. Photo fruit, I'm trying. Wax fruit, I'm acting. But juicy fruit, I'm abiding in him. I'm immersed in him. I'm diving into him. And guess what? When we do that, as assuredly as an apple tree bears fruit because it's rooted in, we will bear the fruit of the Lord. And it's called progressive sanctification. It's part of his overcoming love. I just love that. Well, the passage goes on, and we see in verse 4, for whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And here's why I have overcoming love as his portrait here. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith or trusting in him. Verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes or trusts that Jesus is the Son of God? That's why Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe or trust in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And he goes on to say in verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life for you. Hebrews 11, without faith or trust, it's impossible to please God. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. But this is pretty hard. Let's admit it. It's hard. Life is complex. It has tremendous tribulations in it. Jesus said this about all of that. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And this brings us full circle to our portrait, how he is our overcoming love. My friend, there's a simplicity on the front side of complexity and tribulation. In fact, there's a great quote I like from Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. He said, you know, I would not give you a fig for the simplicity on the front side of complexity. Oh, but I would give my life for the simplicity on the other side of complexity. How can I get a simplicity, a peace on the other side of complexity and tribulation? Well, here's the verse. I just shared it with you. It's in Jesus himself. And it's in the midst of the tribulation and complexity, not on the other side. My friends, we will always have tribulation and complexity in this life, but Jesus said, take courage, I've overcome the world. I have a little thing that helps me. I just remember this. More Jesus, less me. More Jesus, less me. If you're going to write it on your page, put more Jesus in big letters, and then put a line under it, and then under it, and little letters to the right, put less me, more Jesus, less me. When we dive into the Lord, when we immerse ourselves in Him like a sponge in a bucket, we come out, we're dripping with Jesus. By the way, if you're dipping your life, heart, mind, sponge into gasoline and kerosene and sludge, I don't know what you're watching on the internet and on movie, but if you're immersing in that, you're going to drip that. But if you go and immerse yourself in Jesus, it's all the difference. That's how we experience the overcoming life. A fourth thing is to remember God's gracious miracles. Verse 6 here in 1 John 12, the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and the blood, and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. The Lord just showed me here, son, just remember my gracious miracles, the gracious of my incarnate birth, water. You know, a woman's water breaks and then her baby is coming. The incarnate God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, extraordinary. The atoning work of the blood, the Spirit of truth. And then he ends up in verse 11. The testimony is this: God has given us eternal life. This is life, is in His Son. And the one who has the Son has life. But the one who does not have the Son does not have life. This is why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. Receive my eternal life, son, but see that it starts now. Receive my eternal life now. And there it is. He is our overcoming love, my friend. Dive in. Well, Lord, we just thank you for that. We receive that, and we do want to dive in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at MarkPG for more. Oh, until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our overcoming love.